Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw. It all starts now on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Chicago, welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Rally House in Geneva. Yes, still through the Hyundai Score Studios. I'm David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball until 12:45 today, like we do every Saturday morning. Today, reminding you, the Cubs, well, they're still the best, fourth best team in baseball. And the White Sox, well, where there's a will, there's a way. Six straight victories for them. We'll talk about them throughout the show. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning, David. It's great to be out here at Rally House in Geneva. And we're expecting to see a big crowd here today. Shopping, shaking hands, getting your autograph.
Well, there's a ton of choices
but,
here.
But we have a lot of interesting things to start with. We have a great list of guests today. But we start the show out by talking about the elephant in the room for the Chicago Cubs, and that certainly is whether or not Kyle Tucker is going on the IL today or not.
That is the issue. That is the backdrop for today and this month. Kyle Tucker's health has become the primary question about how much you believe in the Cubs in September and whether he will be healthy in October. So let's bring people up to date. First of all, let's go through what we're going to do today. 9:30, Hall of Fame weekend at Wrigley Field with the Cubs. Derek Lee, one of two Hall of Famers going in to the Cubs Hall of Fame, will join us. 10 o'clock, Cubs shortstop Dansby Swanson will join us. 10:30, Ozzie Guillen. We've talked about the surging White Sox. Six in a row. First time since 2022 they've done that, Bruce. Ozzie will join us. And then the president of baseball operations for the Cubs, Jed Hoyer, at 11. He'll have a lot to address because, as you point out, Kyle Tucker's health is in question. According to reports, Owen Casey, the Cubs' minor league outfielder from Iowa, one of their top prospects. We've seen Big Red. He's contributed to this team. He went down last week. Kyle Tucker, we'll find out today, maybe within an hour or so, Bruce, whether or not his calf injury will require a stint on the injured list. How do you put this all into perspective, and what do you expect to hear later this morning?
Well, we know that Owen Casey has been called back to Chicago in case, indeed, that Tucker goes on the IL. So he's in Chicago. He's going to be the 26th man today if he goes on the IL. The question is, if he has to go on the IL, will he necessarily impact the Cubs being able to finish out this run at the number one wild card or not? I don't know if you still believe the Cubs are in the race for beating the Brewers out. It's really a very difficult thing to do right now.
81-60, they're 5.5 back. It's September 6th.
Yeah, there's no halves right now. So it's all the loss column. That's all you look at.
All right, correct me then. How far out are they?
Five games.
Five games out.
Yeah.
Is that ground they can cover in the final 3.5 weeks of the season?
It's up to the Brewers. You know, if the
Brewers are hurt,
the Brewers are going to have to really start playing some bad baseball, and the Cubs are going to have to continue to win, which is a possibility.
Okay.
So we don't eliminate that, but the reality is that the Cubs are the magic number for being the number one team in the wild card.
All right.
Getting three home games.
Three home games at Wrigley.
Okay, is 17.
Got to love that. 17, okay. What does that mean, Bruce?
That means that any amount of combined losses by the San Diego Padres and New York Mets and Cubs wins adding up to 17, the Cubs are the number one wild card with three home games at Wrigley Field to start the wild card
against
series.
Likely the Padres, Dodgers, who do you want?
Doesn't
matter.
So the number one team plays the number two team.
Right.
So that's either going to be the Mets or the Padres, unless the Giants continue this miraculous run where
it's not going to be the Giants.
They're 9-1 in their last 10 games.
It won't be the Giants.
Well, again,
what about the Dodgers? What if the Dodgers fall back?
Well, the Dodgers are the same. You look at them the same as the Padres. Okay?
I don't, though. See, I think that's a big misconception. People say, well, it's Dodgers or the Padres. I want no part of the Dodgers until you have to face the Dodgers in
October. I mean, it can't be the Mets. You know, right now the Mets are tied with the Padres. So they have the second wild card. They're tied with the exact same 76-65.
Okay.
Meaning they have 21 games left, just like the Cubs. Brewers have 20 games left. So the Brewers, you know, their magic number is right there around 16. The difference with the Padres and the Dodgers and the Mets right now, the Mets still have 3 games left with the Cubs, okay, at Wrigley Field at the end of the month. They have the tiebreakers. The Mets, Padres, and Dodgers have the tiebreakers with the Cubs because of head-to-head record right now.
But that won't matter if the Cubs are the number one seed. The tiebreaker won't
matter. No, if they tie.
If they tie. All those things are very important, and you don't want to overlook them. At the same time, I think that the most important thing, regardless of where the Cubs are in the standings, of who they're expected to play in the playoffs, who you're rooting for them to come into Wrigley Field if they're the number one wild card team, you have to have Kyle Tucker healthy. So if that is your number one goal, that will guide every decision. That's why Owen Casey is in town this morning rather than in Iowa or Iowa Cubs.
Right.
That is why we'll probably – don't you believe they're bringing Owen Casey here? They're leaning toward putting Kyle Tucker on the injured list retroactive to September 2nd?
Well, they're very concerned. I mean, Craig Counsell after the game yesterday said he made a point of telling us after we asked about Tucker, he says he's not improved today. Okay, he went out of his way to say there's no improvement and we might, you know, then he stopped short. But the inference was, of course, that if he's not better today, they will put him on the IL, have a live 26-man to work with while he continues to rehab this calf. As we know, these soft tissue injuries are extremely hard to predict, especially with a calf injury. We don't know how long that would be. All of this will be eliminated today if they go, oh, he's fine. He's in the lineup.
Well, I doubt that will happen. That still
I'm with
could
you.
Happen. But
I'm
Jed
with you.
Hoyer will let us know more when he joins us at 11 o'clock. 312-644-6767. How important is Kyle Tucker to the Cubs this month? And what is the biggest goal? Getting him back as soon as possible so you can maybe secure that number one wild card spot or possibly catch the Brewers? Or is it better to let him rest as long as necessary, as long as he is healthy for October? That would be my vote.
Okay.
That would be the box I would check.
I'll give you the worst-case scenario.
Oh, don't go worst-case on me already. It's 9:09.
We're on the radio, my friend.
Okay, sorry.
we need to look at if he's out for an extended period of time. Can the Cubs win without him?
Can the Cubs win without Kyle Tucker? Do you think that they are in a position to have to consider that? You've been out there. Do you think that he's a guy?
When he talked about this question, my friend.
All right. So, but let me answer it by asking you one more question. When he talked about his injury the other day, the athlete always knows. I thought he was refreshingly open and transparent. And I don't think that if he felt like it was that bad, that he would have been able to talk about it to that degree. So I don't sense that there's this doom and gloom scenario right around the corner. Now, that said, if you want to consider all possibilities, can the Cubs win without Kyle Tucker? Yeah, I do believe they can. I do think they can.
Can you trust the player who continues to be a grinder, who plays through injuries like he has this year? Do you trust him to make the right decision? And does that have to be taken away from him by the guy that holds the lineup card in Counsell and the medical staff?
It's definitely up to Craig Counsell and the medical staff. When Kyle Tucker, with due respect, the way that his hand injury was handled by both him and the team, trying to play through something, not being maybe as open as possible, I think now you're making the decisions. You're making all the calls, and you're not really in a position where you want him to play through something like this. I think you respect it. You look at his – it's not something that would affect his swing necessarily, but you still – I don't think you're letting him make the call. You've got to make the call for him.
I'm going to have to ask you a question for the second time in 4 minutes. Can the Cubs win without him in the lineup?
Tell me why they can't. Tell me why they can't, because they're in this position right now. They are 21 games over 500, and Kyle Tucker, frankly, hasn't been the guy you thought he would be for the past 2 months of the season.
Right. And either has the Cubs' record.
Well, no, that's true. That's true, but they are where they are still. It's more difficult, but if you look into the postseason and you agree on the premise that in October you need the best pitching, your pitching is going to carry you as far as you're going to go. And if the Cubs pitchers, I would be more concerned if the question were if they were losing one of the starters out of the rotation. If Cade Horton or Matthew Boyd or Shota Imanaga, one of those three, I think all of those three have more value to the Cubs in the postseason than Kyle Tucker.
Well, if you listen to Craig Counsell, the only way they're going to win is if they hit home runs. That's what he said yesterday.
They hit four yesterday. They beat the Nationals 11-5.
This was before the game when he said, look, we have to hit home runs to win, okay? That's it. He said, that's the game now. So he's not excluding the other 29 teams in baseball. What he's saying is, if he doesn't have Tucker and Armstrong isn't firing the way that he was, and there's good signs on Armstrong from yesterday. There's very good signs. We're going to play some sound from him later in the show as well.
You talked to him after the game. That was a good interview at postgame.
Yeah.
Right after the game.
And he said that he, you know, certainly agrees with the way he's being handled here by Counsell and the coaching staff. But more importantly, you have left-handed power hitting, right? And Happ has picked up the slack for these guys recently. Excuse me, because he's in a mode right now where he's in one of his three normal hot streaks that he has during a season, where he's just on fire with a OPS over 1,000 over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, even 3 weeks. So the point is, if Armstrong isn't hitting home runs and Tucker is not hitting home runs or in the lineup, can they score enough runs to support what's already been a very good pitching staff all year long?
It's a good question, Bruce. It depends on when you ask it, can the Cubs win without Kyle Tucker? What are you asking them if they can win? Can they get to the playoffs and win? Can they win a series without Kyle Tucker in October? I think the answer is yes. Can they win the pennant without Kyle Tucker? The answer is probably not.
What do you base the difference on?
The difference is the quality of the competition. You aren't going to beat some of the better teams in October that you might be able to. When you have the first playoff series, it's three games at home. You should be heavily favored regardless of the opponent. And I think that you, as good as these pitchers pitch at Wrigley Field, I think you could reasonably say the Cubs can win that series without Kyle Tucker. Now, if you're going to ask me who they're matched against in the NLCS or the NLD, then it becomes a little trickier. I'm not as sure about that. But if you're asking me if they can win a three-game series against a playoff opponent at Wrigley Field,
you think they can beat the Padres or the Mets, but not the Dodgers?
Yes, right now. Okay. I'm confident in beating.
If that's the wild card matchup, the first round, that's what you envision.
If Kyle Tucker goes, God forbid, out for the season or misses that series and the Cubs are still against the Padres or the Mets, I still think I'm taking the Cubs.
What scares you about the Dodgers?
What scares you about the Dodgers? What doesn't scare you about the Dodgers? They're just kind of getting through the regular season. They're like the Chiefs in the NFL. They're just getting through the regular season. They're tired of – they win so often, it becomes blasé.
You know the Cubs have a better record than the Dodgers.
I do know that, Bruce. Okay. I know that. I pay attention to the standings.
Okay.
I just don't think that you want to welcome in, oh, hey, Mookie Betts, hey, you can sit there. Hey, Shohei, that's great. Hey, Freddie Freeman, you want to get hot again? Yeah, you don't want to invite that. No, you don't want any part of that.
4-6 in their last 10.
Oh, you can spit out all the numbers you want. I'm looking at the roster, and I'm looking at the experience and the backs of the baseball card that Craig Counsell respects so much. I don't want no part of the Dodgers in October. No.
David, to go to the World Series, you have to beat the best teams.
But you
bring
play
on them, the Dodgers.
So you play them as late in the month as bring you possibly
them,
can.
Bring them on. Prove that you're a good team now.
You want to last as long as possible in October. My goodness, how long has it been since
you're showing
Cubs?
No confidence in the Chicago Cubs.
I'm looking at the opposite. Bruce, you are such a glass half empty guy. I'm saying that the glass is half full. That if you're going into the postseason, you can win a series without your best hitter. That's the epitome of positivity. You're telling me that because I fear the Dodgers, I respect the Dodgers. But I think the Cubs are better positioned to beat the other teams in the first series, and that would be okay.
It's such a Chicago response. What a Chicago response. We're an outstanding team, but we don't want to play this team because they've been good before. They're not quite as good as they used to be.
You can call it Chicago response. I'm saying
I think the Cubs are as good as any team in the National League right now.
Well, they've been playing that way of late, and they are the fourth best team in baseball. And I did say coming in, we need to remind people of that. Sometimes it doesn't feel like that, or people forget that.
If you were telling me they're going to play the Phillies in the first round, then I might have a different response because
– Yeah, I want no part of the Phillies either.
I just feel that type of electric offense that they have will be hard to contain for some of the Cubs' fly ball pitchers during the playoffs.
That's a problem. And we'll get to this, and I'm curious what Jed Hoyer has to say, but the confidence level in Shota Imanaga – going into the postseason as a fly ball pitcher, I don't know where it stands, and I think it varies more than it should start to start week to week right now with a guy who has been, when healthy, one of the best pitchers, maybe, you know, either your ace or if he's not your number one starter, he's 1A.
The games that he's lost or had to come out from, unfortunately, have been about home runs.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's as good as holding teams down. His ERA is still right at 3. He's a terrific pitcher.
But the home runs, you can't just gloss over the home run issue.
No,
and I think
you can't.
Same with Tyon. When Tyon comes back, as soon as next week.
I agree.
These are guys who are, you know, in playoff games when everything is a little tighter. I do worry about the home run potential for
you're the wild card team. You're the Chicago Cubs.
Right.
You're number one.
Right.
You have 3 home games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tyon is not a part of the rotation.
I don't disagree with that at all.
Right.
It's Cade Horton, it's Matthew Boyd, it's Shota Imanaga.
Right. Well, what it is the first game.
See, you didn't even blink. I love that. See, I said Cade Horton game one, and you didn't even blink.
The first,
you're like, all right, yeah.
The first game
now
is if you lose the first game, then the second game is everybody pitches because you're eliminated in the second game.
Ooh, that's experience talking, Bruce. That's a good call. That's a good call. I think everybody, all hands on deck in the second game if necessary, right? Yeah.
So with your premise, Cade Horton is the best pitcher in the Cubs right now.
Cade Horton is one of the best pitchers in baseball right now.
Okay. No, we're not arguing,
good.
Right, for a change.
That's nice.
The question is, does he start game one?
Yes.
Okay.
No question about it
now.
Okay. He has earned that right.
And how many pitches is he throwing in that game?
I think you're going to be smart about it. If he needs 90, it's 90. If it needs to be 103, it's 103. I don't think you go beyond. You wouldn't ideally want to go above 100. But I do think this about the Cade Horton pitch conversation. The fact that they have put him on a 75-pitch limit, ideally, has forced him to be efficient. That's why you're seeing 21 straight strikes. This kid's not wasting any effort. He's not wasting any pitches. It forces him to be efficient, and now he's got all the stuff. So going into the playoffs, I don't want his mindset or mentality to change.
Well, that takes away from your argument about Betts and Freeman and those guys facing him in the first round in the first game.
Well, you know, if it has to be the Dodgers, it has to be the Dodgers.
Is he going to be calm and collected against those guys?
I hope not. I hope he's fired up. I hope he's – well, he's not going to be calm. Who's going to be calm facing those guys as a rookie?
Thank you.
But you're going to be able to see that. See, though, don't twist it. I think when Cade Horton, he has the mentality of going after people because he has that adrenaline that he knows how to focus and channel. And that is why, part of why, he is as good as he is.
It's going to take some real intestinal fortitude.
Careful there.
For Craig Counsell Thank you. I thought twice.
You're a radio
for a
pro.
Change.
Yeah,
for a change.
You did. Well, I think you're right. It's
for counsel to say Cade Horton is my opening game star.
No, I don't. I mean, okay, if you think his intestinal fortitude, to me, this is a gimme putt. This is the easiest decision Craig Council will make in October.
All right. So let's say it's the Dodgers, okay? What is their strength in offense?
They have a lot of strength in offense. What would you say?
Left-handed or right-handed?
Oh, it's left-handed. Yes, left-handed hitters.
So do you want a left-hander facing them?
I think you can make that argument, but I would be disappointed, especially if you are – I wouldn't toy with – what's going right going into October. I wouldn't overthink it. You make a good point. A lefty like Matthew Boyd or Shota, maybe even 1 and 2 going into the Dodgers, and the way that the Cubs and Council trust experience, you could justify that. I also look at what's the list here? Oh, there's Tarik Skubal. There's Paul Skenes. Oh, who else is on that list since July 4th or May 10th?
Right.
Cade Horton.
It's a great argument.
Cade Horton's one of the top 3 to 5 starters in baseball. Why would you want him to sit? Why wouldn't you want him to pitch as early as possible and as often as possible in October?
Otani, okay. Freeman. Okay.
Well,
Will Smith. They have a great hitting lineup.
They do.
So
they do. All right. 312-644-6767.
David, take this time to lay down and recharge.
I am recharged. I'm fine, Bruce. I'm fired up. We're out at the rally house, and this is a lot of fun. We're here, and you can come join us looking for the best Bears gear. Beers later, but Bears gear in town. I'm looking around, and I'm seeing all kinds of stuff you could choose from. The Bears actually open Monday night. Don't forget about that. The Rally House here, locations throughout the Windy City and here in Geneva, Wrigleyville, Chicago Ridge, Rosemont, Orland Park, Schaumburg, and much, much more. Derek Lee was one of the most consistent first basemen the Cubs have ever had. He goes into the Hall of Fame this weekend at Wrigley Field. We will talk to him next on Inside the Clubhouse. We're at the Rally House in Geneva. Come see us. David Haw, Bruce Levine, Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Put on the DL today with a left thumb contusion. High, deep drive to left. Braun back on it. He's on the track. There's number 300 for Derek Lee. A go-ahead two-run shot to make it 5-3.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse, live from Rally House in Geneva with David Haw and Bruce Levine on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine out here at the Rally House in Geneva, having a good time being here until 12:45 today. That's when Cubs pregame begins. Cubs and Nationals back at Wrigley Field. Matthew Boyd and Brad Lord at the friendly confines. Time now to go out to our Circa Sports Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. That's where we find Cubs Hall of Famer Derek Lee. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. Really appreciate you joining us this morning. Congratulations on making the Cubs Hall of Fame. As you come back here, the years from 2004 to 2010 when you wore the Cub uniform and you had such success in that uniform, what comes back to mind? What kind of memories are conjured up first?
Man, you know, that's what something like this does, right? It kind of makes you stop and reflect and there's so many good memories. You know, I played some of the best baseball in my career here in Chicago. My family grew here in Chicago, relationship with the fans here in Chicago. Just a really good 6-7 year period in my life.
Welcome to the show. Congratulations, my friend. I'm looking forward to seeing you today and tomorrow and personally giving you a handshake and a hug. I know how essential you were as a leader. David and I talk about leadership on teams, and I always point to you as a leader by example. When someone had to be talked to, I think you did talk to people in the way that you did, but how much of your leadership, how much of that baseball-wise was by example rather than by do what I say rather than do what I do?
Majority of it, Bruce. I mean, you saw it firsthand. it was definitely just try to, you know, set a precedent of showing up every day. You know, when we step between the white lines, we're there for a purpose, and that's to win a baseball game. So I definitely, you know, wanted to set a good example for my teammates. I was fortunate to have incredible teammates. There's a lot of leaders in that locker room, which made it very enjoyable. But, yeah, I definitely was I tried to lead by example.
What was your favorite season here?
I would have to say 2008. It was, I guess, bittersweet because it ended so poor. It ended so abruptly and poorly. But it was an incredible – we were just a good team, you know, from day one. We knew it. And we kind of ran the table that season. Probably made it too easy on ourselves and got to the postseason and, you know, just couldn't fire it back up.
Could a guy like Lou Piniella, who you played for that season – still manage in Major League Baseball? And certainly we know how smart Lou was, what a great entertainer he was, what a great baseball icon he was. But it seems these days you have to deal with players in different ways. Lou was all about showing his emotion after a game. And if he felt the players didn't do the job, he would say so. These days we don't hear a lot of that. You think the old school managers like Lou could still manage?
Bruce, I'm probably the wrong person to ask that question. You could have a whole long conversation on that. I think you know, the great managers like Dusty and Lou, Jim Leland, these guys can manage in any era, any time, any group of guys, because that, you know, that's what made them great, is they knew how to communicate and create relationships with their players, and you know, they knew what buttons to press. So I'm sure they would figure out a way to be successful like they were their whole careers.
Joined by Cubs Hall of Famer Derek Lee right here inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, David Hall, Bruce Levine at the Rally House in Geneva. Come and see us talk some baseball. Derek, so you come into Wrigley this weekend. The Cubs are the fourth best team in baseball. They are staring at a postseason berth. In all likelihood, they will play some playoff games for the first time in a while. This is a tough market. It can be difficult to remember that the Cubs are the fourth best team in baseball. The scrutiny is daily, and obviously there's that pressure that is created because of that. What was it like from your vantage point to deal with being a Cub in Chicago, and how do you think how do you think this team has handled that kind of scrutiny?
I think they're doing great. I mean, what a fun team to watch. You know, I don't get a chance to watch a ton of them, but I did get a chance to go to Japan, and they have some exciting young guys, some good veteran leadership in that locker room. So they're a fun team to watch. They put together a good season. Sounds like Milwaukee's just kind of hit a heater and, you know, jumped out a little bit. But, you know, I think Chicago will finish strong. And as far as the scrutiny, that, you know, we know that's part of it. I think that's why players enjoy playing in Chicago, because everyone cares. And, you know, that's what you want. It's better this way than no eyeballs and no one caring. You know, when you show up at 120 or 705, you know, all eyes are on you in the city, and people really care about the outcome. So that's what makes it enjoyable and exciting.
D, how interesting is it for you to see the Japanese explosion in Major League Baseball these days? You grew up there in Japan a few years with your dad and your uncle being stars in the Japanese leagues back when you were growing up. From your experience and the way that you look at the Japanese baseball then and now, how interesting is all that to you, watching the stars like Otani and, you know, for Imanaga, people like that being the number one stars in baseball?
So, I mean, Bruce, so good for baseball. I mean, Shohei is like a unicorn. I mean, we may not ever see that again or see this again. But, I, like you said, my dad played 10 years there. My uncle played over there. So I saw firsthand how good the baseball was, and so it's not surprising to see these guys come over here and have success. The type of success, like Shohei level success, is I don't think anyone could predict something like that. But it's so good for the game, especially, you know, going over there with the team on that Japan trip, and you know, know, just seeing how much they love the game and follow Major League Baseball because of guys like Shohei. I'm sure MLB is pretty happy about all of it.
Derek, if I'm getting my information correctly, we need to wish you a happy 50th birthday today. A milestone.
You didn't have
birthday.
To bring that up.
Well, I have to say, seeing you come into Wrigley yesterday, looks like you could pinch hit later this afternoon because you're keeping yourself in phenomenal shape. What are you up to these days, and does it feel like you're turning 50 today?
It does not feel like it's a tough number to hear. I don't know why I'm having such a tough time with it, because I do not feel anywhere near 50. But, you know, it's a blessing to reach 50. I still feel great. And I'm just, you know, I think it is my kids who keep me, you know, your kids keep you very humble. Like, my, if you talk to my kids, they will tell you, no, he could not go play baseball right now. He may look like it, but he could not. So, you know, it's been fun just being around them and watching them follow their passions and, you know, being able to witness it up close and firsthand.
D, how's it going in with Sammy Sosa this weekend, a guy that you played against with for a short period of time you know, conquered actually in 2003 when you were with the Marlins and won a World Series and kind of just blew up the Chicago Cubs in those last two games? How is it going in with Sammy?
Oh, incredible. And, you know, that's the cool thing about the Cubs Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, we can go down the list, and it's a little surreal to be on that same list. You know, guys like Rhino and Hawk and Fergie Jenkins, and going in with Sammy, who has 600 plus home runs, you know, revived the game in 98 with Mark McGwire. So it's all a little, it's hard. I don't know if it's really set in to be, you know, on a list with those type of names.
Last thing before I let you go, so you go into the Cubs Hall of Fame, and when you do that, people talk about your legacy, and when people talk about Derek Lee in a Cub uniform, they remember you being the model of consistency defensively and coming through with a clutch hit here or there. What do you want people to think about and remember about your Cub tenure more than anything else?
You know, what was most important to me was being a great teammate, being someone you know, the guys knew was going to show up ready to go every day. They didn't have to worry about me. You know, they knew what I was there to do was win a baseball game. And, you know, if I could get myself on the field, I was going to be there for him and, you know, be there to support him in the clubhouse as well.
I just want to thank you for all the years of friendship and great play and being the great sportsman and person you were while with the Cubs and as a major league player. I mean, I don't remember one moment where you weren't a professional or a good guy. So from perspective of a media person that was your friend and other media people that I always talk to, you were among our favorites. Congratulations. Have a wonderful weekend. Look forward to seeing you and your family all weekend.
I really appreciate that, Bruce. And, you know, I enjoyed you. You're top of the heap. Top of the heap. So appreciate you guys.
Thanks. Enjoy the weekend. Derek Lee, Cubs Hall of Famer, going in this weekend, Hall of Fame weekend at Wrigley Field. Sammy Sosa Day on Friday, Derek Lee Day today and tomorrow. Both will be honored at Wrigley Field. 312-644-6767. Back to baseball conversation here at the Rally House in Geneva. Find your local Rally House at rallyhouse.com. And don't forget the online website is open 24/7, 7 days a week at rallyhouse.com. Can the Cubs win without Kyle Tucker? If it comes to that, we'll find out later how long they may have to go without their right fielder. Let us know what you think. 312-644-6767. Inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse, live from Rally House in Geneva with David Haugh and Bruce Levine on Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score. David Haugh, Bruce Levine at the Rally House in Geneva. Come out and see us talk some baseball. Bruce, we're talking about whether or not the Cubs can win if Kyle Tucker goes on the injured list or if he is impaired heading into the playoffs. One of the reasons why my answer was yes and remains yes is because I think if a guy like Pete Crow Armstrong gets hot again, we have seen how he can carry this team for a short stretch of time. He was an all-star along with Kyle Tucker. PCA just had 3 days off, a forced vacation, a mental break. You talked to him yesterday. We saw what him being back in the lineup can mean to the Cubs, but also just how rejuvenated he seemed. What was your impression of, number one, the Cubs' decision, and your opinion of their decision to rest him, and secondly, how he responded to that?
So player development is something I talk about where people get sick when I bring it up, because we continue to see that in Pete Crow Armstrong. David, do you realize that this is Pete Crow Armstrong's first full year in the major leagues? People forget that he was in the minor leagues last year at the beginning of the year. So with that in mind, and almost sent back a second time before he got hot. So what I see is a young player who has had great success pulling the baseball, getting extra base hits, and then all of a sudden the adjustment of the league and you continuing to do the same thing, like hitting your head against the wall. Okay, so that's my analogy, but he has come around to understand that there's another half of the field that he's not using, that the bunt is something that he could hit 500 doing if he knew how to bunt the ball the way that he wanted to.
Your proximity to the Cub dugout is better than a lot of ours, and so you're down there and you're able to see the interactions between player and manager, player and hitting coach, and you referenced the conversation that it seems like PCA does talk a lot to John Mattingly about reminding himself of the things that you're just talking about. What are they discussing, do you think, the most in terms of when he's in a slump? What is he not doing that they're trying to get him to do more?
His path to the ball and just whether he's thinking up at the plate. Is he looking for a pitch or is he looking for a location? Those are things Major League Baseball players pretty much size up how they hit. Are you looking for pitches? Are you looking for a location? If you're not looking for either, you're going to go through a lot of slumps, okay? So learning, you know, how pitchers come at him and what he's able to handle. And also, do you think Pete understands game situations, okay? In other words, we saw him lay down a bunt with two strikes just a few games ago, something that you're taught in Little League never to do.
Never do right? that, yeah.
But it was successful. He mm-hmm. got a hit. He ended up scoring an important run. But it also made Council say, okay, this is a time we're resting you, okay? So he saw a player that, for some reason or another, had lost confidence in his own ability to get a hit. When a manager sees that, he has to do the right thing, and that is give the guy a couple days to think about it, work on things, and clear his head out.
We've seen it work in the past with Cub players. We just saw it work with Kyle Tucker before the calf injury. We saw it in August 2023 with Seiya Suzuki. Miguel Amaya has been a guy that Craig Council sat down and had individual work with, and it made a difference. The thing that I was impressed with the most, though, Bruce, is because of those past examples, Craig Council felt like sometimes it does help players have this mental respite. Pete Crow Armstrong, as you point out, first full season, he may not have agreed with that. He may not have seen, well, you know what, I want to play every day because I want to play every day. I liked his response, though, because he called it strategic. He said it was planned and it was necessary. That's maturity that you don't often see in a player that good, that young.
The other thing he said was he has complete trust in Craig Council and that he's earned that and that he's been consistent with him from the first day. He used the term, I surrendered to Craig Council immediately. And that's a really interesting term from a baseball or athlete warrior mentality, right? I surrendered to his expertise, his knowing what's best for me. It's a big word to use, and it's helped them in their communications because Pete is a very emotional player, as you know, and he's a guy that wears those emotions on his sleeve every day. So tempering some of that and not losing the energy level that he plays at, very difficult thing for the manager, coaches, and for Armstrong.
Another guy showing more life at the plate is Dansby Swanson. He had a big home run yesterday, and he will join us next here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.